The Vape Passion Show, episode 75. The topics this week are how San Francisco voted to ban flavored e-juice, how to get free e-juice from Verdict Vapors, an e-juice review of One by Steep Liquids, an old school vape review of the Knucklehead Swivel Drip Tip, taste testing DIY concentrates from realflavors.com, watermelon, taffy base, and cinnamon roll, why the exoskeleton is shorting out, the University of Connecticut says vaping causes DNA damage, but their study is full of holes, and a fidget spinner for your e-cig. Hey, welcome back to the Vape Passion Show. I'm Alex, and this is episode 75. I'm recording this on Sunday, June 25th, 2017. If you're planning on buying a vape product anytime soon and you want to support the show, go to vapepassion.com/vendors and buy from one of those links. There are more than 50 popular vendors listed. I'll get a small commission for referring you, but it doesn't cost you anything extra. And if you don't want to watch this whole show on YouTube, most of the segments will be published separately in the next few days. On a side note, does publishing those segments annoy you? Because I've been getting a lot of unsubs on those days that I publish those videos. I turn off notifications so that I'm not too annoying, but they still show up as new videos in your subscription, so I was thinking that it might be better for me to stop publishing the long vlog video and instead only publish the segments, but then you'd miss my intro, which I would be keeping in the podcast version of the show. I don't know if anyone even cares about the intro, but I do it to connect on a more personal level with you. But maybe I should cut it. I don't know. Let me know what you think. So anyway, on to my possibly annoying intro. Here's what I've been up to. So I didn't get any new products in, but I did order some new old stuff to use for my old school vape review segment, and I'm really excited to get it too. And I'll just go ahead and tell you what I ordered. So I bought an Aspire Vivi Nova tank, a Wismic Bambino RDA, and the iTaste VF atomizer from Inokin. I can't wait to try all those things, especially that iTaste VF, because that's Inokin's first, very first RDA. I think they only released two RDAs anyway, ever, but still a fun fact. So that stuff's on the way. I guess nothing else really to talk about as far as new vape stuff. My personal life has been pretty boring too lately. All of my free time has just been going to schoolwork, and this week I've just been focused on my final milestone project for the class that I'm in. Next week will be my last week in this class, and then I immediately start a new one, Applied Humanities, if you're interested. Anyway, I'm tired right now. I just got done mowing the lawn and picking weeds for about 3 hours, and I'm so tired that my hands are all shaky. So I had to make myself a cup of iced tea and grab a beer, and I've got tea in a plastic witch cup. Do any of you guys save your plastic cups? My mom always did when I was a kid, and I just can't bring myself to throw mine away either. As for my beer, I have oatmeal stout from Upslope Brewery out of Boulder, Colorado. Oatmeal stout is brewed with oats, roasted malts, and East Kent Golding hops, which is supposed to have a full body and smooth finish. The aromas are cocoa and hints of fruit and caramel, and it's a 5% alcohol by volume. According to Beer Advocate, they have a score of 86, which is very good, so people do seem to love it. It is a seasonal beer. Yeah, it's an oatmeal stout. It's good. So if you want to pair an oatmeal stout with an e-juice, it would do well with flavors like oatmeal, chocolate, espresso, and cookie. Some specific desserts might be things like Kit Kats, oatmeal cookies, ladyfingers, and fortune cookies. And I know that there's been a fortune cookie e-juice that everyone has been talking about lately, so that might be a good one to pair with an oatmeal stout. I'm going to do a coffee flavor. I don't have an espresso e-juice, but I have Baristocrat from DIYVaporSupply.com, which is a caramel cappuccino coffee flavor. This one is pretty good, so I'll try it out with this oatmeal stout. I can see how it would be really good with an oatmeal flavored beer, but this stouts are so strong in flavor that it's really hard to get the taste of that e-juice, so it doesn't really work so well. Maybe if you have a really, really strong flavor, it would, but they do seem to pair pretty well. It's just that the e-juice isn't strong enough, at least not the one that I have. Well, I guess that's about it, so let's jump into the topics this week. First up, San Francisco votes to ban flavored e-juice. Vapers in San Francisco suffered a huge loss last week when city leaders voted to ban flavored tobacco products, including flavored cigars and menthol cigarettes. And since electronic cigarettes are considered a tobacco product, that means that flavored e-liquids will also be banned. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors unanimously passed a ban on flavored tobacco products on Tuesday, with the claims that candy flavors and attractive labels lure children into using these products. City Supervisor Malia Cohen said that she understood that this ban would have an impact on mom-and-pop shops, but she still feels like this ban would be better for the community. And with the ban not officially starting until April of next year, they're giving shops enough time to replace these products with something else. That's her words. Now, this might be true for convenience stores and gas stations, but not true at all for vape shops. Cohen was also quoted as saying, "We want to help make this transition from selling a poisonous commodity to selling something that will benefit the neighborhood. But not all is lost yet. There will be one more vote in order to make this decision official. Currently, it's expected to be another unanimous decision, but that doesn't mean you should stop fighting. You can send a message to the Board of Supervisors urging them to reconsider their decision. You'll find a call to action on CASA.org, and you don't need to be a San Francisco resident to submit a call to action. Do that right away, because this is it's happening this week when you're listening to this. If this ordinance passes, other cities or states who are also considering flavor bans will probably use it as an example to implement flavor bans of their own. New Jersey, for example, is one state that has been arguing to make flavors illegal. Unless this is somehow reversed or modified through additional legislation, for example, by exempting e-cigarettes, this flavor ban will take effect in April 2018. In the meantime, you can expect vape shops throughout the city to begin making plans to go out of business because most vape shops will not be able to survive. Regulators worry that flavors will appeal to children and lead them into becoming smokers, but they don't seem to realize that flavors are actually what lead people away from smoking. All right, moving on. How to get free e-juice from Verdict Vapors. I caught this one on a vaping Facebook group, and unfortunately, I can't find that post anymore to give that person credit for sharing it with the vaping community. But anyway, verdictvapors.com will send anyone 3 bottles of e-juice for free. Their claim is that they are so confident in their flavors that they will send out 3 10-mil bottles of your choice of flavors for free, just to try them out. All you need to do is go to their site, fill out a short form, and they will send you a coupon code. I can't speak to how good they are because I've never tried them, but they have some great sounding flavors. Strawberry cream, rainbow cookies, which is a rainbow sherbet infused sugar cookies, strawberry limeade, watermelon rush, apple crumb, blueberry crumb, and patrol, which is a coffee and donut flavor. And their apple crumb flavor won best dessert at Expo Vape in Madrid, Spain, so it must be good. They seem to be a quality company too. They're based in Irvine, California, and they are ISO 9001 certified, and their flavors were created by a top-rated wine sommelier with the goal of being complex and balanced. And they've also submitted PMTAs for all of their flavors, and all of their flavors have been tested and shown to be diacetyl-free and acetylpropionyl-free. And on a quick tangent, I'm interested that they say that they submitted their PMTAs because I haven't heard of anyone other than big tobacco companies submitting them yet. Anyway, that's what they say on their site. So I made my order, and all I had to pay was $2.99 for 3-day shipping. Not a bad deal, so I can't wait to try those. Okay, now let's do a e-juice review for One by Steep Liquids. So these guys hooked me up with this bottle of e-juice for the purpose of this review. I got this from a convention last year, and Steep Liquids had one of the most impressive booths that I've ever seen. It was huge. They definitely put a lot of money into that show. So Steep is spelled with 2 3s instead of E's, but their website is spelled normally. So if you want to look them up, go to steepliquids.com. Supposedly the 2 3s in their name represent the number 33, which is what they say is how many days they steep their e-juice to perfection. From what I can tell, they only have one e-juice, which they've named One. They claim that between days 30 and 32 of their steeping process, there are major changes in the flavor of this e-juice. They aren't saying that this is true of all flavors, just the concentrates that they use in their recipe. According to Steep, One is described as a balanced blend of fruits, candies, and frozen treats. Looking online, I see it being described as a blue raspberry rock candy e-liquid. So the bottle that I have is 6 milligrams nicotine. So let's see what I get out of it. Yeah, it smells like candy. I don't know if I can smell blue raspberry, but it does smell like candy, a fruity candy flavor. Smells pretty good, actually. It smells really sweet, too. All right, so I'm going to vape this on the K-Box 200 with the Sub-Zero RDA on top. Let's see, it's built at 0.27 ohms. I'll be doing it at 95 watts. There's something really familiar about that flavor. I don't know what it is. I don't know, but it is really good. It's sweet, and it tastes like candy. I still don't know if I taste blue razzleberries, but I don't even know what a razzleberry is. Is it razzle candy? But yeah, it's good. Doesn't have any throat hit at all either. Well, not as much as you'd expect out of 6 milligrams, which is what this is. You can get it in nicotine strengths of 0, 3, 6, and 12, and 18 for around $17 for a 30 mil and $27 for a 75 mil. Okay, now let's do a quick old school vape review of the Knucklehead Swivel Drip Tip. When I started vaping again in 2015, I remember seeing these drip tips on older review videos. I actually thought they were pretty funny looking, and I didn't really have a desire to own one, but when I saw it on my vaporstore.com for only $1 a couple of weeks ago, I thought it would be fun to try. So the description for this on myvaporstore.com is so old school too. They say, these are drip tips that have a knuckle joint letting you swivel your drip tip at an angle. Do you prefer dripping? This drip tip attaches to an atomizer replacing the cartridge. The center is hollow, allowing you to drip liquid directly into the atomizer without taking off the drip tip. This item is reusable. Not recommended for use with auto switch batteries. For use with a Joy 510, DSE901, or KR808D. These are all basically vape pens, and I have no idea what they mean by not using this with auto switch batteries. So let's try it out on an old school tank, the Smoke VCT that I reviewed a couple of weeks ago. Ah, fits right in there. So, pretty funny looking, but let's give it a shot. 22 watts might be too much for this tank. Let's do 16 watts. That even might be too much. I don't know. I guess it's kind of cool. It's nice that you don't have to tip the tank so much. I can't see myself really using it other than in this review. And since this is made of plastic, I wouldn't use it on an atomizer that gets hot or with high wattages. And people have said that these tend to pop out of the top of the atomizer and do not fit snug on all tanks, so that's something to consider before you buy one. But if you are interested, you can get these from myvaporstore.com for 99 cents, and in neon green, yellow, or red. You might be able to find them in other colors on other sites, because I know they did make other colors. Alright, now let's talk a little DIY and do a taste test of DIY concentrates from realflavors.com. I'm going to do watermelon taffy base and cinnamon roll. So realflavors.com sells two versions of some, but not all, of their flavor concentrates. Some are VG based, and they sell all flavors in what they call super concentrates. They recommend mixing their super concentrates at around 1 to 2.5%. They recommend mixing their VG based versions around 8 to 12%, which is a huge difference, and something to keep in mind if you go with the VG based options, because you'll go through those flavorings a lot faster. So I recently ordered three of their super concentrates, taffy base, cinnamon roll, and watermelon. For all of the flavors I ordered, Real Flavors recommends a max percentage of 2.5%. And I received a comment from James Rivera who told me that the recommended watermelon percentage is spot on, but that a strawberry flavor, which isn't one that I ordered, was a little weaker than they claimed, but still good. So as you would expect with any DIY concentrate, you'll have to play around with the percentages a bit to get the flavor that you want. So a little over a week ago, I mixed them all up as single flavors at their max recommended percentage, which is 2.5%. These are all 70 VG 30 PG mixes with 6 milligrams nicotine. They've had a week to steep, which I'm hoping is enough. And now I'm gonna talk about them and vape them. So first, taffy base. I mix this at 2.5%, which is what Real Flavors suggest as the maximum recommended usage. This is a 70 VG 30 PG mix with 6 milligrams nicotine, and it has steeped for a week now. The description on their site says, relive the simple pleasures of youth with our taffy base, designed to blend well with fruits and sweet flavors. This soft saltwater 19th century candy is the best taffy you will ever taste. Enjoy. So it smells like really sweet candy, but not like taffy. Okay, so I have this on the K-Box 200 with the Freak Show Mini on top. I'll be vaping it at 25 watts because the Freak Show Mini doesn't require a lot of wattage. It's built at 0.93 ohms. Not a really strong flavor, but it does taste like candy. I don't taste taffy so much, but it might taste like taffy mixed with another flavor, with another fruit flavor. It's pretty good, actually. I do think that it might be better at higher percentages, higher than 2% or 2.5%. And because taffy base is supposed to be mixed, it's a base, so it's supposed to be mixed with other flavors, I did decide to mix it with the watermelon flavor that I got from them, so I'm gonna try that too. I vaped that cotton dry, so I'm just gonna go ahead and put it on top because it's pretty much the same thing, just with watermelon mixed in. Both of them are mixed at 2.5%, both the watermelon and the taffy. So let's give that a shot. Yeah, that's actually pretty good. It tastes like a watermelon. Their watermelon flavor, which I haven't tried yet, is it seems like it's more of an earthy watermelon, and tastes pretty good though. And I suppose that taffy base might be adding a little bit of candy flavor to it. Not bad. All right, next up, let's do cinnamon roll. The description for this one says, this classic breakfast treat also makes an excellent after-dinner dessert over coffee. Flaky layers of fresh from the oven pastry are embraced by whirls of sweet, spicy cinnamon, topped off with an icing sugar glaze that everyone loves. Our cinnamon roll flavor is so soft, moist, and scrumptious, your other flavors may get jealous. It smells really strong. A slight smell of cinnamon, but you'd never guess that it's cinnamon roll. It almost kind of smells like soap. Okay, so I have this on the Predator 228 with the Faro RDA on top, built at 0.85 ohms, 95 watts. Too hot. Let's do 57 watts. Okay, so it does have a little bit of a cinnamon taste. It definitely doesn't taste like soap, so that's good. I think it could do well mixed with other flavors to really bring out that cinnamon roll taste because it doesn't have a whole lot of that frosting flavor on top. It does taste like a cinnamon roll, though. I can definitely taste that in there. And a bit of that bakery flavor, too, that pastry flavor. So, yeah, it's a pretty good base. I think that it would do pretty well with other mixed in with other concentrates. All right, next up, let's do the watermelon. So the description for this says, nothing says summertime quite like our sweet, natural watermelon. Now you can satisfy your juicing melon cravings anytime without the seeds. Crisp, mouth-watering flavor will soak your senses. Very strong watermelon smell, but it does smell like watermelon. So let's test it out. Damn it, I accidentally put the cinnamon on this freshly built RDA, so I gotta get a different RDA. Let's go with the old school Veritas RDA. Put the cinnamon roll flavor away so I don't make that mistake again. All right, so I have this on the Predator 228 Veritas RDA, and the Veritas is a single coil RDA kind of designed for mouth to lung vaping. So you wanna keep the wattage pretty low. It's just got a little micro coil in here. So I'm gonna start at 22 watts. It's built at 1.48 ohms. Pretty good. It's definitely tastes like watermelon, more of an earthy flavor of watermelon, but still a pretty good flavor. I can see how this would mix well with other concentrates. Like I did earlier, the taffy base, that really brought out that watermelon flavor. And now I can see that those two flavors, just those two together, make a pretty good e-juice. I probably would add other flavors too, maybe even some sweetener. I know some people don't like sweetener, but I do. I love it. So I think some sweetener in there would be really good. But yeah, overall, pretty good flavor. Okay, now let's talk about why the exoskeleton is shorting out. So a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that there was a report of a Wismec exoskeleton mod blowing up. At that time, I wasn't sure if it was user error or a problem with the device, but more reports have been popping up, and Grim Green, or Nick, actually received some pictures from someone that shows that it is a problem with the device. I'll link to Nick's discussion about this from the show notes if you want to watch it, but I'll talk about it a little bit here too. So the person who sent Nick the pictures said he had the device sitting on his desk when a random puff of smoke came out of the firing switch. He took the batteries out, which were hot, but still functional. According to this person, there are two major flaws in the design that will cause the batteries to short or vent. One issue is that the 510 socket is not sealed off, which is letting e-juice into the device. As you should already know, e-juice can be messy. It spills, it leaks from tanks, and a lot of times you'll find e-juice sitting in the 510 connection of your mod. If your device is not sealed, e-juice will find its way in. So the exoskeleton doesn't have a sealed 510, which is bad enough. But on top of that, the board supposedly doesn't have any coating to prevent liquid from shorting it out. Put those two things together, and that's why we're hearing stories of the exoskeleton shorting and burning up. He showed images of the device completely taken apart to show these problems. You can see that there's e-juice and condensation all over everything, including the internal chip and wiring, and that some parts of the board look fried. So if you see e-juice or condensation built up in your device, be extra cautious. I'd recommend that you stop using it entirely and reaching out to Wismec to replace it. But if you do plan to keep using your exoskeleton, you should take the batteries out when it's not in use. I definitely wouldn't leave it sitting around at home when you're not around. All right, now time for some vape research. The University of Connecticut says vaping causes DNA damage, but their study is full of holes. According to the University of Connecticut, their new study says that there's evidence that electronic cigarettes are potentially as harmful as tobacco cigarettes. If you've read the full study, which I have, and not just the article and the abstract that UConn released, you'll see plenty of holes in their research. And how about this quote that I pulled directly from the intro of the study? Additives in recent e-cigarettes make the vapor less harsh and allow more rapid delivery of nicotine to the brain, fostering use and increasing chances of addiction. So that's not true. Anyway, so this study was performed by chemists using a 3D printed testing device. They found that e-juices that had nicotine caused as much DNA damage as unfiltered cigarettes, and that non-nicotine e-juice caused as much damage as filtered cigarettes. The researchers believe that the non-nicotine e-juice causes DNA damage because there are still many chemical additives in the flavors of the e-juice. The lead author of the study, Kartik Ketamiseti, a postdoctoral researcher at UConn, said that the amount of DNA damage caused depends on several factors, such as how much vapor is inhaled, the different additives in the e-juice, if the e-juice has nicotine, and other factors. He concluded that based on their study, they are certain that e-cigarettes have the potential to cause as much DNA damage as unfiltered cigarettes. So let's dig into the study. First, let's talk about the 3D printed device that they invented. This is a new electroscreening device developed in their lab. It was designed to detect genotoxicity, which basically means damage to genetic material, such as DNA. The device pushes liquid samples across microwells that contain human enzymes and DNA samples. The camera detects light when reactions are generated. The more common testing method for genotoxicity is by using bioassays, which are more comprehensive and trustworthy, but also much more costly, which is why UConn created this new device. UConn themselves say this device is an initial screening tool. The researchers use artificial puffs by drawing vapor from electronic cigarettes through a tube that had a cotton plug. The samples were then taken from the cotton plug and tested on the DNA and enzymes. And it has been pointed out online that this is a major flaw because DNA and enzyme mixture is not representative of the cell, tissues, or organs in a living organism, which also means that it's not representative of the effects that you might have from vaping. They tested both e-cigarettes and tobacco cigarettes for three known carcinogens at 20 puffs, 60 puffs, and 100 puffs. They found that as the puffs increase, so did the likelihood of DNA damage. The three carcinogens that they tested were benzoapyrene, NNK, which is a nicotine-derived nitrosamine ketone, and these have some long names, so 4-methylnitrosamino, 1,3-pyridyl, 1-butanone, that's one of them, and the other one was N-nitrosonicotine. So benzoapyrene is a product of incomplete combustion and is found wherever organic materials are burned. It can be found in coal tar, tobacco smoke, and grilled meats. Since nothing is being burned when you vape, it's not likely to be found in vapor. Both of the NNKs, or the NNN, these are nitrated derivatives of nicotine. It's been shown in other studies that they're not present in vapor in significant amounts. And also, most NNKs originate from nicotine burning. Those carcinogens require burning, which leads me to believe that the researchers were not testing the e-juice at realistic or normal conditions. And if you read the full study, there's no mention at all of what device they used, what e-liquid they used, the PGVG ratio of the e-juice, how much nicotine was in the samples, the wattage or temperature of the device, what coils or wicking material were used, or even puff duration. And these are pretty significant facts to leave out. One of the things that that bothers me most about this study is that they are testing two different things, the genotoxicity of e-cigarettes and also this new device that has just been invented. Well, three things actually, because they also tested wastewater. If you look closely, you'll notice that this study is mostly shilling this new testing technology, not actually thoroughly testing electronic cigarettes. And this genotoxicity study should have been tested using well-established methods of testing, such as bioassays. And if they wanted to test the validity of the new 3D printed device, they should have compared the results of the new screening method to the more comprehensive and trustworthy bioassay. And the study was also not performed in vivo or in a whole living organism, such as a human. It was an in vitro test, which means that it was performed on tissue extract. Even in vivo tests on animals are more reliable in finding results that relate to humans than in vitro tests. And in vitro tests are also mostly performed using cancerous cell lines that already have abnormal function. And it's also known that in absence of human physical activity, the results of an in vitro study can be misinterpreted. All of these issues are especially true in toxicology studies like this one. I've had a viewer of mine specifically call me out on his YouTube channel for ignoring negative vape studies on this show, which isn't true at all because I talk about negative studies all the time, but usually to disprove them. But the thing is, you get studies like this where something is wrong. There were no details at all of the vape gear that they tested and at what temperatures, durations, or anything. Without knowing these things, this study is completely useless. For all we know, the researchers might have been feeding their machine dry hits, which is actually very common in e-cig studies. Have you ever seen a legitimate scientific paper leave out so many details? There's probably a reason why they left all this out. And that's why I don't talk about every negative study I see, because in a lot of cases, it's just not worth my time. So anyway, is DNA damage something to worry about? Maybe, but this study doesn't prove that conclusion. And the final topic this week, Coilmaster released a fidget spinner for your e-cig. The fidget spinner craze is still going, and Coilmaster is trying to take advantage of it while they can by releasing a fidget spinner mod attachment. This screws into the top of your device and has a 510 connection so that you can attach the atomizer to the top of it. It has a gold-plated 510 pin, stainless steel bearings, and is 31 millimeters in diameter. They say that the partition is short-circuit proof and that it can be safely used on hybrids. The part about hybrids is interesting too. I can see how this would work on a hybrid device and make it much safer, since the atomizer will no longer need to be directly touching the battery, but that's assuming that the 510 screw on the spinner is long enough to make a strong connection with the battery, otherwise it could be dangerous. The 510 pin definitely looks like it protrudes far enough though. The only other issue I can think of with the spinner is that it will probably add at least a little bit of resistance between your device and your atomizer, which might result in voltage drop and a lower quality vape on a mech mod or unregulated device. A regulated device, on the other hand, could just be turned up to account for any added resistance. I'll be honest, I kind of want one of these, and I'll probably buy one eventually. I'll wait a month or so to see if the price drops, which I'm sure it will. The fidget spinner craze has pretty much reached its peak in popularity now that they're in 7-Elevens, Walgreens, and just about every other convenience store and gas station for like $5 or less. Hell, I was at the flea market a couple of weeks ago, and they were at almost every other stand for only $2.50 each. I think the craze is dying down and people are just losing interest. So anyway, yeah, I'll keep an eye out for a good deal. I think it would be fun to have. Okay, that's all I have for this week. You'll find the show notes for this episode on vapepassion.com. Just do a search for episode 75. If you want to support this show, consider donating to my Patreon page at patreon.com/vapepassion. You can follow me on Twitter at vapepassion, and I'm also on Facebook. If you like the show, I'd love it if you gave me a review on iTunes. You can also catch the video version of the podcast on YouTube. If you're not already a subscriber, please subscribe. If you want to get notifications of new reviews or of the show, you can sign up to receive my weekly email on vapepassion.com. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me anytime or leave a comment on one of my videos. All right, I'll see you next week.